We are reading a passage that is so clear. Jesus' teaching, so clear. One in which we see and think, well, I've already heard that before. I've dealt with that before. I understand about treasures on heaven and earth. Oh, I wish it was that easy. This is a great passage. I think you will find tremendous encouragement today, as well as challenge. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. Jesus' sermon, this is what Jesus said. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the word of the Lord. Father, as we unpack this very clear teaching from you, I ask that your Spirit would reveal new truths to us. That the Spirit, that you would open us up. That we would be willing to hear new things and see new things and to look at our life again. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to close your Bible if you brought one. If you didn't, I want you to grab the blue one that's in front of you. Everyone, this is not an option. I want you to do that. If there aren't enough, then share. But keep it closed. And on the top of the Bible, I want you to place your bulletin or another blank piece of paper that you can write on for a few moments. What I would like you to do is simply answer this question by writing. What is the treasure of your heart? If you were drawing a treasure map on this blank piece of paper right now, what would be at the center of that treasure? Now, be honest. I'm not going to look at this. Your neighbor might, but just tell them to get out of the way. What would be at the center of that treasure map? What would be the treasure? What's locked away in there that you're longing to find or to store? What's there? It might be Jesus. But if it's not, be honest. The easiest way to tell is by asking other questions. Like, what have you been thinking about? A lot. What do you wake up thinking about? Sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes not till your alarm goes off. What fills your heart and mind through the day? Likely those are treasures. Things at the center of this blank page, this treasure map. What are they? Put them down. Write them down. Many of them will be good things. But what are they? You need to know. You probably can't finish the exercise right now, but take it home. What does your treasure map really look like? If you still struggle to know, ask your children. When you look at my life, what seems to be most important to me? And then get ready. What might they say? And the reason I had you close your Bible wasn't simply to give you a workspace to write on. It was to make a point that often this is how we pursue the treasures of our life. Our Bible is closed. It's present, maybe even in our lap, maybe in our house, maybe in an office. But when it comes to the things we're really focusing on, we're thinking about, writing them down, meditating on them, without really letting the Word of God inform our treasures. In fact, being our treasure. Are you guilty of that? I am. I often find myself coming up with treasures, and then I seek to inform God of what they are, asking for His blessing on them. But that's not how it works. If you're honest today, that piece of paper that you have before you lists many good things that consumes your heart and mind. Let me tell you this. If you didn't write Jesus as the only great treasure in your life, everything else that you put on there is going to experience corrosion. Everything. Every bit of it. Think, for example, your children, if they actually took the exercise seriously, and they brought it to you, what would make you celebrate? Not just in church, but after you get home. I remember a young man in my youth group in Oklahoma City, my first church I ever served in. He was the valedictorian of his high school. Midway through his senior year, he told me, "I think the Lord is calling me to go into youth ministry." His dad was one of the mentors in my life, a very godly man. When his son expressed that that was his desire, his dad, one of my mentors, called me and said, "We need to talk." And he said, "I don't mean to offend you, Mark, but Matthew can't waste his life doing what you're doing. He's too gifted. He's too smart. The man's treasure wasn't really Jesus. The man's treasure was his son and the vision he had for his son's life with just a little bit of Jesus sprinkled on. It's subtle. But if your child came to you and said, "I really want to live so passionately, so crazily for Christ. I maybe even want to go to a country, Mom and Dad, that you've never wanted to even visit." What would you say? If they said, "Really, I don't want anything to get in the way of me serving the Lord," what would you say? You might say, "Well, that's great on a short-term mission trip. As long as you return to this zip code, we would be fine with that." But what if one of your children, your son or daughter, comes home and says, "I feel called to go and serve in the slums of Africa where every day thousands and thousands are dying of AIDS. I know it's dangerous, but I believe that God's calling me to that." How many of you would say, "Yes, that has been our dream and our prayer. We celebrate. That's the treasure map we have." Or would you say, "You know what? Not for you. That's not what God has. You're too gifted." Brothers and sisters, the passage that Jesus has put before us is not just about money. It's about anything that we treasure on this earth. Anything. Anything that we treasure on this earth that consumes our heart and minds, even good things. Jesus is not saying good things are bad. He's simply teaching us that good things aren't great. Every good thing on this earth is going to corrode. Everything. Your career. Your relationships. Your gifts. This church. Everything this side of heaven is going to go through corrosion. And Jesus is teaching us that. And he's saying there is one great investment. It's the treasures of heaven. Focus there. I know you've heard this before. I know you've read this passage before. And you think, like me, you know what it means. But here's the powerful thing about God's word. When we don't simply use it to write on as a workspace, but actually open it up, it really is alive. The Holy Spirit really works with the word to continue to sharpen you and make you more like Jesus. This very day, I'm concerned that some would see that this is the passage that we're preaching on and would simply say, "I know, I've heard this before," and you're tuned out. I hope that's not the case. I hope today you simply say, "Holy Spirit, make me open. Make me open to examining every area of my life with that illuminating light that only the Holy Spirit can give, so that we once again, as a husband and wife, or as a small group, or as children in a Sunday school class, would say, what is it God's calling us to?" So let's unpack this text a little bit. Remember, Jesus is preaching to Christians. So this is not how to become a Christian. He's preaching to those who are followers of Christ. There's two commands. One is negative and one is positive. The negative one is this: do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. What are the treasures on earth? There are many. And they're written, if you did what I asked you to do, on the page before you. There are many, many treasures. Marriage can be a treasure. Getting married can be a treasure. Finding that right man or that right woman. Having children can be a treasure. Having a career can be a treasure. Having a ministry can be a treasure. This pulpit and me in it can be a treasure. Jesus did not say, do not lay up for yourself monies on earth. This is so much further than that, but we know it's connected. Jesus, in his great teaching, always answers the motivating question. Why? Jesus simply teaches. Because on earth, there are moths and rust that destroy, and thieves that will break in and steal. Moths eat away a fabric. These are not the moths that you see flying around at night that are attracted to the light. The moths that eat our clothing are the ones that like darkness. They hide. And when you see a moth in your closet, it's not the moth itself that is eating away at the cloth. It's the larva that they've left behind that continues to chew unseen. Every one of us and all the things in our life are subject to that corrosion. Rust, the same way. And in thieves. Many of us, when we hear this message, seek to understand that the thieves are those that break into a house and steal. That is a great violation. There was a family in our church this past summer that was robbed. The mother came home, opened the front door, and saw thieves in her house stealing right before her eyes. She quickly ran to her car and called 911 as they escaped out the back. I talked to her just a few days after. What a violation. What fear. Going back into that home again, knowing intruders have been present. But this is not the only way in which thieves break in and steal. Your coworkers can spread a rumor about you, and that's stealing. Your small group could spread a rumor about you, and that's like thieves breaking in and stealing. Everything this side of heaven is subject to corrosion. There's nothing you're pursuing other than Christ that is not subject to corrosion. And Jesus simply teaches it. Therefore, he says, the better investment is to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Heaven. Every person here is going to experience the ultimate corrosion, and that is your body. Eventually, like thieves coming through disease and other such things as that, it's going to dwindle. It's going to fail. You're going to die. Every one of you. And the spouse you're sitting next to, their body is going to fail. You may go before them or after, but that corrosion of sin and death is real. It's going to happen. But for those who are in Christ, the promise is that investment is in a King who saves, who goes before us to provide a place where there are no moths. There are no secret, unseen consumers destroying the fabric of our lives. There is no rust. There's no corrosion. All is pure. And there are no thieves that can break in and steal even the joy of your salvation. But this side of heaven, we know all those things. So the Lord says, invest in the treasures of heaven. Because investing in the treasures of heaven, you see that corrosion does not exist. And I think the reason that we're so drawn to the treasures of this earth is because our vision of heaven is so small. It would be easy today to walk out of here and simply say, let's reevaluate our finances. Let's reevaluate where we're spending our money. Let's reevaluate our priorities. And you should. You should do that. But that will only motivate so far. What motivates on a grand scale, where you begin to have eyes that see as they've never seen before, is when you're gazing at heaven and seeing that it's going to be more than one long eternal worship service. Even if it has your favorite preference of music, that is not what heaven will be in isolation. Open your Bible and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Listen to what Peter says. Verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're in that season. Christ has risen. You said it differently last week. I told you every Sunday we preach Easter. Christ has risen. Ah, that's it. He has. And as he has risen, he went somewhere. His physical body ascended. And right now, Christ, 100% God, 100% man, sits next to the Father, waiting for his return. He has gone to prepare a place for you in his resurrection power. Listen to verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. What in your life, this side of heaven, is imperishable? What is undefiled? What is unfading? Nothing. You build a new home, you sign the papers, and you call the contractor back out. Why? It wasn't perfect. It won't be long before something else breaks. Constantly fixing. And the more stuff we have, the greater the amount of corrosion. More time needed, more money given. It just keeps going and going and going. Because it's all going to corrode. Every bit of it. The desire for stuff really is a longing for that which is imperishable. It's longing for a mansion. You see, I love blueprints. I love designing stuff. I wanted to be an architect so bad that I spent Friday nights and Saturday nights in 5th, 6th, 7th grade literally designing homes that one day I could live in. They were amazing. Moats. Bridges. Multiple garages. I mean, it was amazing. And some people have built homes like that. Do it. Do it. But don't make that your treasure. While you're doing that, be looking at the blueprints of heaven. You see, the blueprints of your mansion in heaven is something you should be considering. But let me say one thing. You can do it with great detail, but it will be so much greater than you could even imagine. Heaven will have no Home Depots. Heaven will have no Rust-Oleum. Heaven will have no place for cedar-lined closets and mothballs. Thank the Lord. It's going to be beyond what you can imagine. And so Christ tells us, lay up your treasures in heaven. 1 Peter, it also says that it is kept in heaven for us. The Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our salvation. But there's a temptation in us. The temptation is to think that we can have it both ways. Who says we can't? Jesus. This is one of the great sins of a city like Dallas. Churches in America, we think we can have it both ways. Jesus says in verse 24 of Matthew 6, no one, that's why I read it three times, can serve two masters. On that blank page today, you need to ask the question, which master am I serving? And let God tell you. He'll be gentle with you. He's gracious that way. But let him tell you. I think you need to understand that this question is not a once and for all question where at some point in your life you said, I will serve God, I won't serve money. No, it doesn't work that way because we have a real enemy, a real storage war, an enemy who is saying, put your investment in the things on this earth. And he doesn't simply go away because once in your life you said, I'm going to serve Christ. He is constant in his onslaught to say, turn your eyes towards all of this stuff. Christ says you can't serve two masters. You either hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money and anything money would buy. You can't. You can love God and you can be devoted to God. You have to hear that. He says it. You can. You can love God and be devoted to God. Do you believe that? He died so you could. You really can say, I love God. I am devoted to Christ. And I struggle with the temptation towards the things of this flesh. And I would say, me too. But you cannot love money and be devoted to money and in the same breath say, I love God. You can't. He will not allow it. And his teaching, especially in the conclusion of his sermon, is so powerful because he says there are two roads. There is a wide road that leads towards what? What does it say? Destruction. And there are many on it. And there is a narrow road that leads to life and only a few find it. And here's the fundamental problem. When we look at those roads, we tend to think they're parallel. The wide road is right here. And the narrow road is right here. And I'm going to walk both. I'm going to love money and be devoted to money, but I'm not going to say stupid things like that. But deep down, when you look at my life, that's what I love. That's what I'm devoted to. It's what I'm thinking about. It's what I wake up thinking about. It's what I want. Be honest. You're not alone if that's you, I promise. But then in the right places, small group, church, Sunday school, etc., in the narrow road. Brothers and sisters, those roads are not parallel. You can't do both. They're completely in opposite directions. And if I tried to imitate what walking down that direction would look, we would call an ambulance in just a few moments. You can't do it. They're polar opposite directions. So be honest today. Are you walking down the wide road full of the treasures of this earth that leads to destruction? Are you moving down the narrow road that leads to life? Which do you want for your children? Oh, I hope and pray you want your children to see it's the narrow road that leads to life. Does this mean that there will be people without wealth? Of course not. Wealth isn't the issue. It's the issue of making wealth your treasure. It's the issue of saying, this is what I want. In a parable in Luke chapter 12, don't turn there, but certainly go read it later today. Jesus says this. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. How much are you worth? The IRS will know tomorrow. Everything that you have can be counted. Everything. How much are you worth? Is your identity wrapped up in the abundance of your possessions? If it is, then that's your treasure. How much are you worth in Christ? It cannot be measured.
Amen.
Thank you. Do you believe that? You see, that's where our gaze is to be. God made everything. And there are many things inside our world, on our earth, that are beautiful. But none are to be treasures. He is the only one worthy. In the parable Jesus taught, this rich man lived in a land that produced richly, plentifully. And the rich man thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul," I love that line, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." That's where the line comes from, by the way. It's in the Bible. "Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." How do we avoid not being rich towards God? I believe the lesson from the parable is to preach to yourself. Soul, you have an inheritance that every storehouse on this earth that has been built and ever will be built or could be built can't contain the blessings that waits for you in heaven. And everyone is imperishable. How do you preach that to yourself? Well, Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount tells us, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Look at Jesus. Gaze at your Savior. Be rich towards God. How? By considering His riches given to you on the cross. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us that we could have this life forever. And as great as it is to fantasize about the mansions we will live in, about the new heavens and the new earth, and all that it will be like as we gather with the saints, as we consider that, there's something even greater. You will see Jesus. 375 saints from our church since August of 1993 have gone into the presence of our Lord. What are they seeing now? You in Christ one day will be like them. Your treasures, are they here on this earth? corrosion is everywhere? Or is it in heaven? Gaze upon Jesus and watch the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus, we cannot begin to thank you as we ought, for we can't even imagine everything that awaits us. But we thank you for the clarity of your teaching, and Holy Spirit, for the work that you do in making known to us the foolishness of pursuing treasures the sight of heaven. God, would you please set us free? Let us believe deeply the things that we have been singing and the thing that we will now sing. Would you let us gaze upon the cross and to see the body of our Savior tortured and then gone and the tomb empty, knowing that he reigns now, and fill us with your Spirit that we might be made different because of the treasures that are ours in Christ, in whose name we pray. And the body of Christ, with joy in their voice, pray together. Amen.